Welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
And my name is Rob F. Switcha. Switcha.
Switcha, cha, cha. This is the video game music podcast featuring only third and fourth generation video game music. And this is episode 230. And this is kind of our January in a sense, right? Even though this episode comes out for November, this is our January. This is sort of the beginning of the year for us, right?
Happy New Year!
Yeah, we're just going to start thing. This is starting off the new decade. We're starting a new decade here. Kind of.
Well, here we are.
Yes. So look, let me mention these couple things here. So the Legacy Music Hour has started a Discord. And if you don't know what Discord is, and I don't really know what it is, it's a sort of chat room situation. It's multiple chat rooms that are for the Legacy Music Hour, basically. And at first, it was only for Patreon members, but a user suggested making it public. And we took that suggestion and we made it public. So anybody can join this Discord. And there is one of the sections in the Discord is Patreon content discussion. So there, you know, if you want to get more exclusive kind of action going on, you could just go to that section if you want. But anyway, yeah, come one, come all. And it's, if you want to check it out, go to legacymusichour.com, enter the description of this episode, and a link will be posted for that episode, for this episode, episode 230. And you can find the link for the Discord there. It's a way to connect with other users and talk about different things, video game music and video games, be it modern video games and old video games. And talk about Time Lord if you want to. There's a whole section for Time Lord talk. And also, I wanted to mention that Stefan Goodrow, he made a video recently for the sort of 10th anniversary. Isn't it funny that we used to say anniversary every 10 episodes, remember that?
Right, we would say this is our, what is it, our 10-year anniversary or something like that? Or
something like that, I don't know, yeah, something like that. But anyway,
Wait, did we really do an anniversary after 10 episodes?
Well, we would just say that as a joke, kind of, that it was, I forgot how we said it on episode 10, but it was something like, this is the 10th anniversary, or maybe we said it was, yeah, something like that. Anyway, Stefan made this video of him playing a kalimba, mm-hmm. or using a kalimba to play the track we're hearing right now, the Blaster Master theme song, and it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And
very cool.
It was posted on the Facebook page for Legacy Music Hour, so check that out on Facebook if you want to.
Okay.
I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And that's about all I have to say. And well, no, one last thing. So speaking of the Patreon, if you want to check stuff out on Patreon, there's a lot of bonus content, and I'm talking a lot. It's patreon.com/legacymusichour. And there's kind of game reviews by Gabe and me. And there is, if you want to hear our top 10 best tracks of the last 10 years, our top 10 of the last 10 in audio form or in video form, you can go, that's on there. It's a 4-hour long video /
top 10 of audio. The decade.
And it was really hard to decide. And you hear us figuring out our choices in real time. That's why it's a 4-hour video. / audio,
yeah, it was a lot of whatever. Fun. That was a lot of fun.
And then also, there's just a lot of stuff on there, you know? I mean, bonus episodes about different things, you know, collecting games and bonus episode stuff about just, I don't know, different things.
Phone messages
from Rob that he leaves on my answer machine, and sometimes phone call conversations between me and Rob, and you know, just all kinds of stuff. Fortnite videos from Rob. A lot of stuff on there. And also Emily is on there as well, mm-hmm. posting stuff, and going to be posting more stuff in the future. So check that out.
Keegliff had a really great Time Lord post, which I thought was, it was a little creepy, but very timely with Halloween. And if you want to know more, go to the Patreon, check it out. It's a little disturbing.
mm-hmm. So that's that. All right. Anything else you guys want to mention?
Can I ask you guys something? Hmm. I see you're both wearing t-shirts here.
Mm. I'm not wearing a t-shirt.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
Is it cold in LA right now?
Yeah. It's gotten colder. Yeah.
What's the cool low? Down.
Yesterday it was like 52 for me.
Oh my God. 52. I wish it was 52.
Oh, is it really cold there now?
32.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Look at this. Oh my gosh.
I don't know if this is going to mention. I would be wearing my new shirt, but it's in the laundry pile right now.
Yeah, you had a different shirt on just a few minutes ago, Gabe. What happened?
I just wanted to switch to something simple.
Yeah.
Hides my curves a little more.
Anyway, yeah, it gets into the, it's in the 50s, you know. The low is in the 50s at least, yeah. Oh, it kind of warms up a little bit later this week, though. But all right. Anyway, I mean, come on. I'm talking about the weather over here?
Well, he's talking about shirts.
No, because I saw the shirts. I saw the shirts, so I just wanted to see what was up with you guys because it's cold. The switch is in
winter mode. It was not. I'm not wearing. I'm a little cold right now, in fact. And I put the
heater
on.
That's actually kind of. I've never seen you wear anything, I think, other than the same shirts that I've seen you wear. I've never seen you wear a sweatshirt.
Yes, you have, definitely.
No.
Okay, you know what? Let me just point you in the right direction. You never seen me wear a sweatshirt, eh?
No.
Okay.
You got proof.
Okay, you got, I'm going to show you a picture of us together wearing a sweatshirt.
Archive of sweatshirts.
Obviously, Rob, you've seen me wearing a sweater, right?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, you are crazy.
Oh, well, I think whatever. I think it's perfect weather right now, by the
first
way.
First of
all, I was sitting outside like last night for like a couple hours, just a t-shirt.
Here, I'm about to show you something, Rob, right here.
Are you going to share it on the Zoom meeting?
I guess I will, yes. That's me wearing a sweatshirt. Okay. And I've worn that sweatshirt many times. That's a sweatshirt, but I've also worn... I wear sweaters all the time when it's winter time. You kidding me? Jeez.
Okay.
I'm the sweater guy.
I'm the crazy one. I'm the crazy one.
Absolutely, you're crazy.
I wear a t-shirt in the cold whenever possible.
You're a crazy guy.
I want it cold. Cold.
I mean, truly, truly, truly. How could you? Let me see here. Look.
I always just pictured you like one of the Contra Boys in the snow, I suppose.
Look, here's one more. I'm going to show you another one real quick. Gosh, it's so hard to do. I've got so many screens here. That's me wearing a sweater.
Well, that's a sweater right there.
That's a sweater.
Is that a scorpion sweater?
And you're the one wearing t-shirts. Scorpion's t-shirt.
I know.
Anyway, talk
about winds of change.
Okay, so look, anything else we're going to talk about here before we get into the music?
No, I think we should get into it.
Okay, let's get into it. I think that you will be starting things off, Rob.
Right. I want to welcome everybody to this special election episode of Legacy Music Hour. Right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, when does this come out before or after the election?
No, it'll be after the election.
You sure?
But, yes.
Okay.
Because it's Super Tuesday, right? Super Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. Of course.
Right.
Of course.
But if this was coming out prior to the election, which and it we're recording before the election, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dedicate this next track to those that still need to get your ballots in.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going to dedicate this next track to Rocky Guerra.
That's great.
Rocky Guerra.
Who's, you don't even know who that is. But
Kanye's
it's
Kanye's running partner.
It's Kanye's, Kanye West running.
Oh.
He's running for president and Kanye West is vice president.
This track is called Time's Running Out.
Mm,
so like Time's Running Out. Get your
like
ballot. Get your ballot in. And this is from a game called Red Zone. Mm. Red Zone. Sega Genesis. Hit me with that, Brent. Running Out, Red Zone, Sega Genesis, and that is a Jesper Kidd track. Jesper Kidd, remember that guy?
It almost sounds like you're saying just for kids.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I
like just
too.
For kids. It's just for kid. It sounds like a Filipino person saying it's just for kids. It just for kids. It just for kid. It just for kid. You just cannot you this one here, Rob. You cannot enjoy this one here. This one just for kid. You're an adult.
This is released in 1994. It's a Time Warner Interactive game.
Mm-hmm.
Time Warner bringing you AOL and Red Zone. Red Zone.
You know, this game has really cool... have you seen footage of it?
No.
It's got, like, really impressive, like... It almost looks like video. Like, these screens, it's, like, black on red, and it looks like full-motion video almost. For the Sega Genesis, it's really cool looking.
Really?
Yeah.
You know about this game.
I know about this game. That's
how do you
all
know about it?
That's all I know about this game.
How do you know about it?
I don't know. Just
you know a lot about games.
Doing research.
You know a lot about games. You do.
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
Sounded like you said Anaconda. Yeah.
It got poor reviews. Well, not poor, but mediocre.
Mediocre.
I don't know. I don't even know what kind of game this is, so I don't know what the gameplay looks like.
I think it was a shooter. Top down shooter.
Oh, okay.
This part is a little Halloween-y. Turn this up here. Let me get the Halloween vibe. Trick or treating is canceled, but here's a little Halloween for you. Did you guys get people knocking on your door the past few Halloweens?
No.
I live in a kind of weird, kind of secluded spot, a little bit. I'm away from like the road, like the
I live in a building.
Sidewalk. He lives in a building.
Did you, Rob?
Well, some kids came to my barbershop. I just thought it was kind of weird.
Did you hand out combs, mustache combs?
No, but these
are
kids I never
hair clippings.
Kids I never seen before. Kids that aren't getting cut at my barbershop.
Yeah, exactly.
But October rolls around and they think, hey, now it's time to get some candy.
You should get some hair. Give them the hair.
I should have given them the hair, maybe.
They should have to beat you at Street Fighter to get a piece of candy or something.
I had a guy come in back when I had my Sega Genesis at the shop. And I was talking all kinds of smack. All kinds of S. Just telling him how good I was at Street Fighter. And he said, I haven't played in such a long time, but I'd like to play you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I said,
is he hustling?
I said, yeah. I said, yeah, it's your funeral, I told him. I said, I know you're on a break at work. I don't want to ruin your day, I told him. And he smoked me 3 games out of 5.
Wow. I think it was
he
hustling.
Smoked me. Smoked me. It was not a very good point. And he brings, he's come back. He's a regular now, but he brings that up all the time. It's a little embarrassing.
All right. Well, moving on. I'm going to... Okay, well, you know how you know, I was saying Gabe knows about games, and you guys are kind of saying, oh, I think it's this kind of game or whatever. Well, I have a sort of theme with all my tracks this episode. All of my tracks are from games that I played recently. Okay. So I know the and beat too fully. So
and mine too. Mine too.
Oh, okay, yeah. So therefore I don't just vaguely know about these games, I know intimately about these games. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it's gonna be. For my tracks. Starting with Mega Man 6 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And I don't know why I didn't... anyway, this is Yuko Takahara, right? Isn't it? I'm actually kind of... I usually have these things written down in front of me.
I thought you were pretty intimate with this game.
I know, exactly. But I'm not as intimate with Yuko is the thing as I should be. I usually have this stuff written down, but you know, sometimes with some of these games, I know them so well. I think I do at least that I don't even write down the information. Well, anyway, it is Yuko Takahara, maiden name Yuko Kadota. But anyway, so yeah, that's the composer on this one, and the track we're going to hear is Mr. X. This is the Mr. X castle or whatever for Mega Man 6. This is music from Mega Man 6, and this is the Mr. X stages, and or just Mr. X. Yuko Takahara is the composer. And you know what I also just realized is that not only are all my tracks games I played recently, all my tracks are Nintendo or Famicom tracks.
Showing the love.
I like that. That's good. Kind of reminds me, you know what this sounds like? It sounds like the song Friends and Strangers. That's what it sounds like. It's got the same kind of chord changes. Friends and Strangers. I think it's called Friends and Strangers. You know Friends and Strangers? It goes... I'll sing along with it. It goes like this. Well, once we get the loop. Dun 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 dun. Oh no, it goes. Dun, ah, I can't do it. It's too hard to sing along with it. But just you'll look it up. You look it up. You'll look it up.
Like friends and strangers, friends and strangers. Just like exactly like this.
Right, right. Friends and strange. All right. Anyway, that's a good track. That's all I gotta say. And you know what else, by the way? Oh, all of the tracks that we're going to hear from me at least, I kind of did my little reviews of all these games on the Patreon. Mm-hmm.
A little Kiss Shot is up next. Kiss Shot is a billiards game. Billiards.
Is it billiards or is it pool?
What's the difference? Billiards is a style of game. Isn't billiards just pool?
No. It's billiards uses three balls, I think.
Oh.
It uses three balls, and it's a different game. There's three balls, and it's a different game.
Well, the name of this track is called Nine Ball Game, so this is a pool game. Nine Ball Game.
Aye.
From the game Kiss Shot. Sega Genesis. Rack 'em up. Ladies and gentlemen, Kiss Shot, composers Naofumi Hataya and Hiroshi Kubota.
Nice. It's nice.
Nine Ball Game.
Nine Ball Game. And you know what? I realize there's another track in this set. that's called Billiards Game. So I think this game altogether is both billiards and pool.
Is regular pool nine ball? Or is nine ball different than pool?
Oh, actually,
I don't know.
Actually, you're right about that.
I don't know.
No. Nine ball, it's usually... I think there's 15 balls, isn't there? Or 12?
I don't know. No, there's just single digits. I love this bass line.
Yeah, man, this captures an essence of, you know, what it captured. No, it's very, Kiss Shot, it makes sense, you know?
For those of you that have been able to go to a pool hall, I know in this state we can't go to pool halls just yet. Here's a little taste of what a pool hall used to be like. You used to walk in and the music would start playing like this, right?
And you put your nine balls up on the table. Put your nine balls on the table.
Put your nine balls on the table.
And break. Put your nine balls up. Aim. Break.
Kiss shot must be some kind of term in this sport, no?
Right.
Here comes the kiss shot.
By the way, the lose theme in this game was also played on the podcast in the past.
Right. Which is a banger.
Right.
But this right here, this part? Oh.
Yeah, this is where it gets really, you know, it's enjoying the romance, you know? But then this is sort of the romance beginning, and it's kind of mysterious, you know, about what's going to happen. And then it goes into really enjoying the romance, you know.
Would you consider pool a romantic game?
Kind of, yeah.
Of course.
Well, yes, I think actually definitely. I think 100% it's romantic. First of all, it's you can play more than two players, of course. You can do, you know, there's a lot of variations. You can take turns. But it is definitely something that is oftentimes played one-on-one. And also the cue, you know, is
right.
There's something suggestive about that, and then you know, you're shooting these
especially
balls
when you're chalking it up, you know, you got the chalk.
Yeah, when you're chalking it up, and then when you chalking the balls they go into these holes, you know, there's something suggestive about that, you know.
Right,
and,
right.
I mean,
you got the triangle that holds the balls. I mean, you know, you're racking them up. The rack.
Oh, there's a rack involved. Also, the way that you kind of bend over the, you know, to do certain shots, you know,
right.
There's something of, you know, suggested about that. It's definitely romantic. I mean, it's more than just romantic. It's sort of, you know, suggestive.
Because I've taken dates out to play pool before. I don't really like pool. I'm not good at it, but I guess that's not even the point, right?
Right.
It's just to show...
It's a game that you guys can play together. It is a nice
right, and
date
just to
thing.
Show you that you know how to chalk a cue.
That's right. Properly.
Chalk right. a cue.
Chalk up that cue.
Anyway. Yeah.
Try to get that kiss shot.
Yeah, get that kiss shot at the end of the night. At the end of the night, hey, well, I had a great time playing pool with you. And he's like, well, to be honest, there's still one more shot. I still have one more shot left. Really? What do you mean? Kiss shot. And then he kisses her on the forehead and says, good night, my child.
Give her a copy of this game.
Stay safe and watch out for, and you know, I want you home by next time I want you home by 9 p.m. So it turns out it's his dad. It's the dad, actually. Turned out he was teaching her how to play pool. All right. So next up, we're going to hear from G.I. Joe, the Atlantis Factor for the Nintendo. And the composer on this is Yusuke Takahama. And I kind of felt like I was very familiar with the soundtrack because it's one of my favorite soundtracks of all time, pound for pound. You know what I mean? That's another top 10 list we could do is pound for pound best soundtracks, not best individual tracks, but what are the best soundtracks I've discovered in the last 10 years? Well, this is one of them. You know, best soundtracks are soundtracks where just track after track, it's great. And this is one of those soundtracks. So many good tracks in this. But there's one track in here that I seem to have overlooked when I first listened to this soundtrack, and I only really heard and really discovered when I played it recently. And that is Route 13/Route 16, Forest/Ruins. So this is the track that's used in the forest area and the ruins area. And this track is really good. And I never noticed it before until playing it. And this could be top 10 material for the next countdown.
A year from now. Calling it out like the babe.
Start calling me the babe from now on.
Impressive.
Babe Weinbach. I'm Babe Weinbach. It's actually hard to say that. Babe Weinbach.
Babe Weinbach.
Babe Weinbach.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Maybe Brent Weinbabe would be better. So, what about Brent Babebach? An alliteration of three Bs. You call me BBB.
Triple
Brent
B.
Brent Babebach.
Trippy.
So, anyway, yeah, this is Route 13/16, or Route 13 or 16, Forest/Ruins, G.I. Joe, the Atlantis Factor, Nintendo, Yusuke Takahama. This is music from G.I. Joe, the Atlantis Factor for the Nintendo, music by Yusuke Takahama. This is Route 13/16, Forest/Ruins. And yeah, it's pretty short. I mean, it's only 24 seconds or something, but it's good. I love this part in the beginning. Something about that sounds familiar, but just really good too. And then this part's really good too. I love that part right there. That's my favorite part, the beginning. God, it just reminds me of something. It reminds me of a good 80s song or something. It's hard to explain. I don't know how to explain it, but it's good. You know, yeah, this is... We don't have to do a video about it, but I... Well, maybe we should do that. Top 10 soundtracks of the decade that you discovered in the decade. You know,
I'd be all in on that one.
Oh, yeah. So that's going to be different than our list, you know, that we came up with before, because we're talking pound for pound, what are the best overall soundtracks? So, for example, Rob, I mean, this would be ineligible for you, but you know, if you could just pick anything from any time in your life, you would probably, you know, the lightning force would be probably one of those kind of things for you, right? Or for me, you know, Secret of Mana or Final Fantasy II for Super Nintendo would be, those would be, you know, best soundtracks of all time. But, you know, I wouldn't obviously be picking it for this thing, but that could be a fun topic for us, right?
Maybe it could be a gradual thing.
What do you mean a gradual thing?
We'll release little chunks. Because we could spend a whole day.
Well, I already know as far as soundtracks I discovered in the last 10 years, I know three that come to mind immediately.
Yeah, but the later ones are the ones I'm talking about that would take a long time.
Oh, so, you mean 6 through 10?
Right.
Right,
right. Do you see
right.
what I'm saying? And I think that would be fun to do in chunks.
Got it. So maybe we do top five up to, you know, maybe
or even
we do top five.
Top three to four to seven.
Hey, you know what? I think you're right.
8, 9, and 10.
Well, look, top three are going to go quick for me. I pretty much already. Well, I think I know what my top three are. But all right, let's do that.
You want to drop them right now? You want to drop them right now?
Well, I'll say one of them. I mean, this could be number one or number two. Is going to be Wagyan Paradise.
Wagyan Paradise.
I mean, just it's hit after hit, hit after hit, you know, and there's so many tracks in Wagyan Paradise and hit after hit after hit. Okay, just saying. You know what? That could be fun. That would be a fun topic. And actually, I can see how if we pick three games each, that could actually take up a lot of time, too, because we could just say, listen to this track. Now, listen to this track. Listen to this track. All of these are so good. And we wouldn't even play all the tracks, but... you know, we could just sort of sample through some of the tracks. There's a lot of great soundtracks out there. I'm talking top to finish. And I mean, by the way, G.I. Joe, The Atlantis Factor is top 10 material for that. That would be in the top 10 for sure.
Okay.
It's so good. Really good soundtrack. Because, you know, there's a lot of soundtracks where they're kind of one-hit wonders, sort of, you know. There'll be one or two tracks that are really good, but the rest are, you know, maybe not as good. I mean, there might be, I mean, for me at least, for example, I don't even want to say, but there's certain tracks where they might be in the top three favorite tracks I've discovered in the last 10 years, but the overall soundtrack that it's from is not going to place as high, you know?
Right.
Kind of fun to see how that matches up. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. I have got Cross Wiber, Cyber Combat Police.
You remember what happened last time we cross wibed?
Mm-hmm. What was that?
Remember it was just the track
got out of control.
Kind of got messed up or something. And it didn't mess up.
It kept going up in pitch or something.
Yeah.
But the reason it did that is because there was nothing programmed into the track to stop. It was never supposed to loop that much is the thing, you know? So there was nothing.
Yeah, it went into another dimension.
Yeah.
Is what happened, right?
Yeah.
Right. Staff Scroll is what I've got for you guys today from this soundtrack. TurboGrafx 16, Cross Wiber Cyber Combat Police. We'll be right back. That is Staff Scroll Crosswiber Cyber Combat Police. That's a little fun one there, right?
Very cool.
Mm. Very cool. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, there it is. This is almost Fallen-esque, no?
I guess, yeah. I could hear that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I like that right there. I like that, too.
Hmm.
This is, sounds like Guardian Legend or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like this breakdown right here.
This is good right here, yeah. The bass line. Mm. Had the disco-y bass line. This is good, too. Mm. It ends with a major chord and a dun 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 at the end too.
It's a very proper ending.
Very good, very good. Yeah, that was good.
Cool. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Next up, what are we gonna do next? Okay, next up is a game that is a Famicom game. It was a Japanese only release. And it is, I guess this is based on a, I think it's based on a manga and anime series. It's called Purrman. Actually, the full title of this game is Purrman. Oh, actually, you know what? I just realized, well, all right, whatever, it doesn't matter. I realize Gabe is, should be next, actually, but
I don't care.
I'll just do this track and then Gabe will go. Purrman Enbon o Tori Kaese. And I've also seen this game listed as Paman as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, so, and so I have an unknown composer on this, but the developer is Irem. And we're going to hear Stage 4. And I liked this game, by the way, and I go into a lot more detail on the Brent's Games episode on Patreon. So here's music from Purrman for the Famicom Stage 4. This is music from the game Purrman, Enbon o Tori Kaese, for the Famicom, and this is Stage 4. I really like the beginning of this track a lot. Dun, 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 dun. This part right here. There's something kind of melancholy about this track, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I really like that beginning a lot. Anyway, yeah.
That's good.
Purr man.
Is that purr as in the cat?
No, it's not. I don't know what it means, actually. I mean, it's...
because you also said paw man.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I did. P-A-A man.
Oh, P-A-W man.
And it's I not... Like P-A-W, it's man. Not P-U-R-R. It's P-E-R. Purr man. From what I've been able to gauge, I don't quite know what it's about, but it's... I think it's about these kind of wannabe superheroes or something like that. They're kind of these... One of them's a monkey, actually. But the main character's not a monkey. And there's a man superhero, or like a real superhero who kind of says, oh, I need your help. And there's these younger kind of... They seem like kids and a monkey. Three kids and a monkey, and they... are these sort of wannabe superheroes. That's what it sort of seems like. And there's these P's that... I don't know. P is a big part of it. The letter P. So, I don't know. But that's funny. It does sound like... it's. I said paw and purr. They could both sound like a cat situation.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm up, right?
Yes, Gabe's Corner.
All right. So this is a game that I played through recently for the first time. This is from Mitsume ga Turo.
Yes.
I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
And it's a great Natsume developed game. I'm kind of on a Natsume kick lately. And this is from Stage 3-1, and it's by Hiroki Iwatsuki.
Yeah, I'll talk about it when we come back.
All right. Here we go. Mitsume ga Turo, Stage 3-1 from Hiroki Iwatsuki for the Famicom.
Or Toru, I think.
Right? Do it?
I don't know. Or Turu. Turu.
Turu.
I think. I don't know.
Which means like
The three-eyed one.
Three-eyed one, yeah. Which is based on manga, I guess, and cartoon.
Seems like all these Japanese exclusives are all... Yeah. Based on mangas and anime,
You gotta play this game. It's good. It's very good.
Well, I'm going to play this game. I want this game. I kind of when you got it, I kind of wanted to get it too. You know. Well, I looked at the footage and it looks cool. It looks really cool.
You want what I got?
I want what you got. I saw the footage. It looks cool. It looks really cool.
A lot of cool parallax. Background stuff, very graphically advanced, and it's fun. It's kind of a little Mega Man-ish, a little bit, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you shoot out your third eye.
The graphics looked really good, mm-hmm. And there was also, this wasn't a parallaxis thing, but it was, I don't know, there was this stuff that looked almost kind of Super Nintendo-y almost. You know,
like just this kind of like transparency almost.
Something, yeah. And then also there was this sort of these flashy looking things that looked advanced, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, which they have in Time Lord too, actually. But of course. not to bring up Time Lord at a time like this, but
it's very, very cool.
By the way, one note about Time Lord real quick is that we joke about that game a lot and that it's whatever, there's of an opinion of it and stuff, but I did grow to like figuring out how to get the orbs. I think that part's cool, but there's other things in it that are challenging in a way that...
That's hard as heck.
Doesn't appeal to me as much. For example, trying to beat the... I've tried recently, too. I can't beat the Mexican level 3 character.
Boss, right?
The level 3 boss, the Mexican character, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tried recently as well.
I know that there's probably a trick to it, but I don't want to know what the trick is. I want to be able to figure it out myself, you know?
I know what the trick is, but I won't say it, but...
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Going back to Mitsume Gatoru.
Nice.
I think I bought a copy of it recently. And it looks nasty. I mean, I got it for cheap, though.
The cartridge, not the game.
Which one?
The cartridge looks nasty.
Yeah. That's what I meant, yeah.
Does it look nasty?
It's just... the table... The label is... The front label is 75% there, I guess. It's ripped off in parts. But also, it's kind of stained and...
Got some, like, gook on it.
Yeah, and it's kind of wrinkled looking. You know, I mean, it's one thing for the label to be kind of ripped off, but it's the label that is there is wrinkled.
Okay? It's
crinkly.
Yeah, it looks like it has, like, water, sun, and somehow glue damage or something. From and like labels.
And then there's also some gunk on it, some kind of boogery looking gunk that's on the side of it. It looks nasty.
Do you think I got
it
for
this is an expensive game.
That was like playing the game. And you know how did you ever know kids that would like, you know, pick their boogers and put them somewhere?
Yeah.
Like I wonder if they just put it right on the cartridge.
Right.
I hope not.
Played hard. played hard and left out to dry.
So this game is fairly expensive game. I mean, I got it for half to a third of the price that it normally goes for because it's so nasty. That's why. And I don't know, you know, what I might do is I'm going to try to clean it up as best I can and see what it's like.
But you can always remember you got this kind of expensive game cheap forever and you display it in your collection.
I don't really like that. I don't really like... It's pretty nasty. I normally wouldn't get a game for this. But, you see, I got it for so cheap compared to the regular price for this nastiness that I kind of thought, well, okay, I mean, for this price, okay,
no,
I guess.
I mean, that's totally... Like, why not? That's how it should be.
But what I might do is I might put it up on eBay and try to sell it for a higher price.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if I make money off the game, then I'll apply that to getting a better copy. And so I'll still spend more on the better copy, but I'll spend less than the normal price, sort of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll upgrade. Flip it and upgrade. Yeah. Maybe. But
this game looks cool. I do that. So, yeah.
All right. I wonder if I'll be able to get it for more than I paid for. We'll see.
I definitely think so.
Mm-hmm. Even though it looks nasty as crap.
It's nasty. Could be crap. I don't know.
I mean, I've seen worse. I've seen worse games, and I just hope that it's not... You know, some games look really nasty, you know, but... You know, where they've got... Actually, you know, G.I. Joe, the Real American Hero, my copy of that was not great also. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the worst copy, but it wasn't great. But that one actually didn't end up working right, and I had to return it. I've never done that. I've rarely done that before, but it wasn't working right. Anyway, but also, that game, I didn't enjoy that game enough to want to try to buy it again after I returned it. I mean, I played through maybe a third of it or half of it, but anyway.
Well, I got a bunch of free games once, and I got a copy of Lost Vikings, and I think I showed you, I know I showed you, and it had like brown, hopefully chocolate all over it. And I cleaned it so well, you would never know, but the whole time I'm like, is this even worth it for, I like Lost Vikings, but I'm like, it was nasty.
I'm pretty sure I have a signed copy of Lost Vikings signed by Matt Furness.
Oh, nice.
I think. For Genesis.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to the soundtrack yet because I want to discover it while playing.
I'll save it. I don't know if this would be a spoiler because I knew you're going to play it.
No. I'm glad to get a little peek, actually. Yeah. I like this track, and it's cool that I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Okay. How about a little of the PC Engine Super Graphics?
Right. That's something okay. I've been thinking about trying to get a PC Engine as well, by the way.
But I thought you already had. Oh, wait. You have a TurboGrafx 16, right?
I have a TurboGrafx, but I've been thinking about the PC Engine. I just don't know why I would get that. You know, there's basically only one or two games on that I want to, that I'm interested in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just to have it, just for those one or two games?
Well, I got a Mega Drive, even though I didn't need to. I got a Mega Drive just for Alien Soldier. But do I want to get a PC Engine just for Liquid Kids?
Magical Chase?
No, Magical Chase I want to get on the TurboGrafx 16.
Oh, yeah, I forgot, yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. Not right now. Maybe. Maybe later in life.
Al Dines. The mission code for Rage Crisis. Al Dines? How would you pronounce that?
I don't know. Do you know, Gabe? Because you know about
games. I know the game, but I don't. I think in my head I say Al Dines.
I was thinking to myself, Aldines.
Aldines. You know? The mission code for Rage Crisis. PC Engine Super Graphics. Here is Stage 6. Al Dines, the mission code for Rage Crisis. Stage 6.
It's cool. Yeah.
I like the beginning part a lot, too.
Well, this part here is my jam right here.
I like that. This kind of sounds Halloween-y too, a little bit.
What are you guys going to be for Halloween this year?
I'm going to be in my pajamas.
I'm going to go to a rave. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Florida and I'm just going to tear it up at the club.
What about you?
Nah, I'm not gonna dress up as anything really. I will be working.
Rob, you should dress up as you know, Freddy Krueger and cut people's hair with your hand, you know, your hands or something, you know, with a glove, you know.
Why not Edward Scissorhands? Why Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, we could be Edward Scissorhands, or you could be, you know, or you could be Cutman from Mega Man.
Cutman would probably be the easier outfit. Just put a pair of scissors on a hat or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you should wear a white sort of outfit, you know, white shirt, white pants, and then, yeah, a hat with a scissors on it or something. That'd be kind of cool.
Let me hit this part one more time.
The Halloween thing is like on a longer measure than the beat.
Oh.
That's what it seems like.
Hmm.
It's cool.
All right, what am I going to do now? Okay, here's another Famicom game. Mm-hmm. This one here is... Goonies, the Goonies, I should say, the Goonies for Famicom, which didn't come out on Nintendo, but Goonies 2 did. And well, I mentioned this on my review thing of it, but when I saw Goonies 2 on Nintendo, I thought, okay, that's interesting that it's a sequel to the Goonies, and I thought, well, I guess the movie is part one and then the video game is part two. You know, I thought it was a sequel to the movie and that's why it's called Goonies 2. But in fact, it was actually the sequel to a video game that didn't come out here. Although it was in the arcade, because I did see it in the arcade, but I didn't fully register what that was exactly. I thought it was just an alternate version of I almost kind of thought it was like Goonies 2, the arcade version or something like that. But
was it just on one of those Play Choice?
Yeah, it must have been on that. Yeah. But anyway, the Goonies 1 for the Famicom, and this game is from 86, so it really has that earlier video game music sound, you know, to it. The music is by Satoe Terashima, who did half of the music to, you know, Castlevania. And we're going to hear the Stage 2 music. And this track sounds almost like a prototype version of the basement music in Goonies 2 or something. This is Stage 2 from The Goonies for the Famicom, Satoe Terashima. Music from The Goonies for the Famicom, and this is music from Satoe Terashima. This is Stage 2. Yeah, this is it, like I said, it sort of sounds like the basement music from Goonies 2, doesn't it?
Yeah, is that the Cyndi Lauper thing?
No. It doesn't. I'm not talking about the Cyndi Lauper track. Here, I'll just really quickly play it real quick.
I thought it sounded a little bit like that.
It sounds like this. Where can I find this? Where is this? Oh, here it is. Look. Listen to this. Huh. No, not that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Kind of sounds like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, kinda. It does. Similar.
It's kind of like a rough draft version almost, you know? But not really, you know? Anyway, this track is very 80s sounding, and it's very, again, like I said, it has that very sort of early video game music sound, you know? And when I say early video game music, I mean early as far as looping tracks goes, you know? I like the bass line.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh no, did I glitch? Did I glitch?
Well, you're frozen
test,
now.
Test.
You're good. I mean, I can hear you. Oh yeah, video is good too.
That last part reminded me of that's like some straight up California surfer music right there. Right here. And then the part right after this, watch this. That's Cowabunga, am I right? That's surfer stuff right there.
I like that bass line. I like this game too, by the way. In fact, I would say that, well, yeah, I mean, I thought this game was cool. I mean, it's very, it's kind of more like a points type game, but I liked it. Yeah. But you can beat it.
I never and beat I Goonies 2.
I beat that too. Yeah, it's a good track. Good track.
Okay, I'm going to end my set with a little A-Warg. Hero in the Sky. A-Warg, Hero in the Sky. This is a Mega Drive title. Ending theme to end my set list. Theme. A-Warg, Hero in the Sky. That's a Mega Drive track.
I like that.
That is from composer Bambi. Bambi.
Kind of almost sounds like Reading Rainbow.
I was going to say Reading Rainbow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Butterfly in the Sky. There was another track that we thought sounded like Reading Rainbow in the past. It's Butterfly in the Sky, but Butterfly in the Sky is Reading Rainbow, but this track, this game is called Hero in the Sky, AWORG Hero in the Sky. You know?
Right.
So instead of butterfly in the sky, it's Hero in the Sky.
Was it Honey in the Sky?
Well, there's Honey in the Sky is something else.
That's right.
That's something else. You want to sing along to that? Do you know the lyric? Do you know how to sing Reading Rainbow, Rob?
Take a look.
I'll start it from
it's
the top.
It's in a book.
Hold on.
It's Reading Rainbow.
Just start it from the top here.
Butterfly. Nope. There you go. Hold on. Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high to take a look. It's in a book. It's Reading Rainbow. It's a little something like that. A little ditty.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Actually, that matched up not too bad. Lee. It was pretty good, actually.
Look, how high do butterflies go? Well, a couple feet? Butterfly in the sky can go twice as high. That's not great.
They say they can go twice as high.
Twice as high as 2 feet, 4 feet. Yeah, I can do that pretty much without reading a book. What does that even mean? Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Airplane in the sky. 747 in the sky. I can go twice as high. Then I'm in space. That's impressive.
Now you're more interested in reading the book.
No, that's right.
Right?
I know there are more lyrics to that, but those are the first ones. It's Reading Rainbow. What was even the point of that show? I don't even remember.
What do you mean, what was the point of the show?
Was he just reading a book? I don't even remember how the show went.
He would get together with like kids and they would read a book together?
They would be about books. And
like books coming out? Like books to check out? It was like a book club?
Yeah. There is a books to check out, actually. There was the kids would say, oh, here's a book, this is about this or whatever, and you could check that out, you know? And okay, look, to be honest, now that you mention it, I kind of forgot what happened. I don't remember
how did the show work. I remember the opening credits. There's that cartoon.
I do remember the kids reviewing the books, though. I remember you.
Was that all it was?
No. That wasn't. That was just a segment I think of the show.
They had segments like very PBS-y where they went into schools maybe and did stuff.
Yeah. Went into schools. Yeah.
That's all.
But what does that have to do? For some reason, I do recall, you know, him visiting different things, but I don't recall it having to do with books as much, you know?
That's weird.
But, you know, then he would, you know, later, of course, he would go twice as high.
Can't do anything.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, you know, you talked about how if you went twice as high as a 747 or whatever, you'd be in space. Well, he did go to space when he was in Star Trek: The Next Generation.
You just got to put a hairband on your eyes.
I always thought it looked like one of those things that girls use.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like the plastic, like hair clip.
Those things mm-hmm. with the teeth. You know.
In fact,
I used my own sister's one of those and put it on my face and said, "Hey, look, I'm in Star Trek. I'm going twice as high right now."
Your Brenty
but you know large. Why? You know why? You know why he got able? Was able to be on the starship? Was it called the Starship Enterprise?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know why? How he got in there?
How?
By reading a book.
Reading a book.
In fact,
read the manual.
That'd be funny if Star Trek: The Next Generation was his entire. It was because it was a book. It was like part of his imagination from a book that he read. You know what I mean? Like that was what it was. That's how the ending was revealed to be. You know.
It's just like. like a book, like it just zooms out of a book closing or something.
At the end, it's
what was it?
At the end of the last episode of Star Trek and the Next Generation, a book, yeah, zooms out, a book closes, and then you see him, and he goes, and then you hear that music that goes dun dun dun. Didn't it say that? Didn't do that after their book reviews?
I don't remember.
Dun dun dun. You know,
it's like the is it Saint Elsewhere ending with the snow globe? I think.
Oh, I did not. Oh, you just ruined it.
No, maybe I'm thinking of something. Yeah.
I didn't. Is that how it is? It takes place in a snow globe, really? Saint Elsewhere.
I don't know.
Wow.
An 80s show.
I know what Saint Elsewhere is, but I didn't know it ended in a snow globe.
I don't know. My memory is foggy, so.
That'd be cool if we ended. What?
That's rainbow. Rainbow.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought it was that transitions into the da, 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 da. Turns into the Star Trek. It'd be kind of funny if after that note we just ended the podcast. It's over. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, what's next? What's next for us? Well, we are going to go into space. Okay. How do you feel about that?
I'm up for it.
Oh, I know where we're going.
Really, you do? Where? Where are we going? What's the star? Yeah. What's the name of the star?
Is that the name of the star?
Yeah, it is. I read the story.
Gradius.
It's Gradius.
Dos.
Two, yeah, Gradius 2 for the Famicom. Why did you think that? Because you knew that I played that recently,
yeah,
or something?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is music. This is for the Famicom. I mean, it did come out in the arcade, and it actually came out in the arcade in North America as Vulcan Venture. But for home consoles, it only came out in Japan. And this is music by Hidenori Mawazawa and Yukie Morimoto. And actually, as I recall, there were new tracks composed for the home console version that are not in the arcade version, I think. Hmm. This track in particular is one of those tracks that was a new track for the console version. It's Heavy Blow, Stage 3A. So Heavy Blow, Stage 3A from Gradius 2 for the Famicom. And yeah, that's what we're going to hear next. And one thing I'll say is that my last track was Goonies 2, or it was the Goonies, and it was from 1986 and it had that earlier sound. Well, this game is from 1988, and you just hear such a difference in what Konami started doing. It's not that early sound anymore. It's more an advanced sound. You'll hear what I mean coming up right now. Listen to it again. It's so good. It's such a good track. This is from Gradius 2, Stage 3A. Heavy Blow is the name of the track. Hidenori Mawizawa and Yukie Morimoto.
That's a banger.
Yeah, it's so good. Kind of has that contra, super contra sound, kind of. Mm-hmm. This is so good. That's so good. So good. This is a good track. Really good. Konami's the best, man. Konami is so good. Konami's the best.
This is an extremely Konami track.
Right.
It's maybe on another episode. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying it has all the Konami.
On another episode, you could do pound for pound best company.
Well, yeah, right. Right. Well, I already know the answer is Konami is number one. It is, pound for pound. It's just,
I think Sunsoft,
I've said this on the podcast before.
Sunsoft? Can you give them a run for its money?
Well, first of all, Sunsoft doesn't have as many games as that Konami churned out. You know,
Konami, it doesn't matter, pound for pound, mm-hmm. pound for pound.
Capcom. Well, I mean...
Data East?
Look, I still think that Capcom, for me at least, is better than Sunsoft.
So Capcom doesn't give Konami a run for its money?
Yeah, it does. Capcom does. In fact, Capcom is the one company that really can rival Konami.
Okay.
But Konami still is on top, pound for pound.
Okay.
To me, it's Konami and then Capcom. And then after that, it gets a little tricky, but I would maybe say Nintendo might be after that, you know? But you really hear the difference in 2 years from the Goonies track. I mean, listen to how much more... you know, full the sounds. It's really because of the sample drums, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sample drums just make it... But it's not just the sample drums, it's
no,
the way that...
No, they have more of that kind of reverb and stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, there's more dynamic to it, mm-hmm. you know? They really are utilizing... Yeah, they're utilizing the... They're kind of trying to go full throttle on it. Actually, I think this game had a special... I think the reason it didn't come out in North America was because there was a...
chip.
Extra chip or something like that. It's using something else that would have been hard for them to convert for North America, I think. I love the different rhythms in this track and the different beats. I can fly twice as high. Sing the Reading Rainbow to this.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Let's take a look. It's in the book. It's Reading Rainbow. I can't go anywhere.
Right.
See? Reading Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow.
Something like that.
I don't know, yeah. This is a good track, man. I'm loving it. I want to hear it, keep hearing it, you know? But okay, we'll move on. For a full track listing, you can check out legacymusichour.com. Once again, you can go there for this episode if you want to get on the Discord and you want to be more involved in the, not just the Legacy Music Hour community, but the video game music community, I guess, right? But there's a link that will be in the description there for this episode. And you can also comment there on the website and create discussion there if you want to. You can also email us at legacymusichour@gmail.com.
You can call us 281-SONIC-91 and you can drop us a text there. Maybe let us know that Jolico maybe is pound for pound up there. Jolico.
No.
I'm just saying.
I'd love to hear that argument, yeah.
Okay. Okay, someone will be texting.
We should do an episode about that, about top 5 companies or top 10 companies, I guess. Or
just top companies in general. And then just put them all out there and we'll figure it out.
We'll create the order.
Sega for sure is up there.
Of course. Sega's up there for sure, but... I mean, do you think that Konami is the number one or what?
I don't know. I can't commit to that. I'm sorry. Gabe? I don't know.
Gabe?
Oh, I mean, top three at least.
Oh, you're not committing to number one.
No.
I would have thought that you would have thought number one, too.
What about EA, Electronic Arts? You're telling me Electronic Arts is not pound for pound up there? You're crazy. You are crazy.
That's not in the top 10. That's not even in the top 10.
You're crazy, Taxi.
I'm not even trying to say, I'm not even saying anything about it. I'm just saying that I, for me at least, it wouldn't rank the top 10. You know what I mean? I mean, to me, there's all these other companies that are churning out all these hits after hits. You know,
Konami is like the Motown of video game music.
It's the hit maker. Konami is the hit maker. I've always said this. I've always said pound for pound, Konami is the best. Mm-hmm. It's the hit maker. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Capcom is next. I mean, Capcom rivals it. In fact,
Taito
is good. Very good. Taito's in there. Taito's in there. But
Technosoft?
They don't rival... To me, Konami and Capcom are just, they're the hit makers, okay? They rival each other, but Konami, I think, comes out in the end. But we should make this a whole episode. This would be good, you know? It's okay. This is a good idea for an episode, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of companies out there. I mean, look, you know, there's a lot of companies. I mean, look, Nintendo, by the way, puts out a lot of good music, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget Square either. You know, Squaresoft. I mean, Squaresoft is up there. Squaresoft could be...
Yeah.
Or Square. Yeah. I mean, Square. I know. Square is top five.
Yeah, I got to toss in Natsume. It's a lot of my favorite soundtracks.
No, Natsume is good. I mean, to me, Natsume is almost kind of like... It sounds kind of like Konami, but it's not quite... It's not quite on the same... Quite.
So it's poor man's Konami? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not trying to say that, but I'm just saying that one might... interpret what I'm saying to be that, but I'm not saying that, but I'm just, yeah. Okay, so anyway, what else? If you like the show and you want to help spread the word about it, you can rate and review it on iTunes. You can also connect on the Facebook page. Of course, I mentioned this already probably too many times, but patreon.com/legacymusichour, tons of bonus content on there. And you can also, if you want to follow us individually on various platforms, go ahead, Gabe. What are you?
Gabe J. Castro on Twitter.
Gabe J. Castro on Twitter.
Yep.
And Rob?
I am... Fisticuffs, but I'm thinking of I'm Rob F. Switch on PlayStation and Fortnite, but I think I'm also Rob F. Switch on Twitch, which I'm trying to figure out a little more. But uh-huh. I'm something else on YouTube when I stream my videos.
Huh.
I'll try to figure out so that it's all centralized. We'll figure it out.
I mean, as for me, it's Brent Weinbach on Twitter, and it's Brent Weinbach Comedy on Instagram and on Twitch. I haven't really done it yet, but I'm going to, I think. I think it's Brent Weinbach Games, I think. And and YouTube is Brent Weinbach. And there's a YouTube channel for Legacy Music Hour too as well. So that's just Legacy Music Hour. And Keyglyph, well, I mean, I should say Emily Donnelly does their mixtapes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And those come out once a month. They come out the third Wednesday of the month. And she is on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/Keyglyph, which is, well, you know how to spell it, but I'll spell it anyway. KEYGLYPH. And she's been getting back into streaming regularly. And she also has other random videos up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Videos such as VGM Music Box Arrangements, okay, and Apple IIe Music. Her YouTube channel is Keyglyph. It's the same as her Twitch, Keyglyph. So you can check that out. A lot of stuff here. A lot promoting a lot of stuff on this episode, but that's okay. Thank you to Gabe Castro, who does our sound editing and stuff and sound stuff. And
thanks, Gabe.
And also, what else? I mean, that's about it. I think that's it, right? Mm-hmm. All right, let me fade this out. All right, we'll be closing. We're closing out with another game that I did play recently. I just finished last night, actually. We're closing with Princess Tomato in the Salad Kingdom. And this is a Nintendo game. The music is composed by Tomotsune Maeno. And we're going to hear Peanut Village / Carrot Plateau. And or I guess you could consider this as sort of level 6. And this was given to me as a gift recently. And yeah, you can hear me talk all about it on the Patreon as well. Although that's not out yet. And let's see, what else should I say? Yeah, that's what we'll be closing out on. And I think that's it. My name is Brent Weinbach.
I'm Rob F. Switch.
The name of the program is The Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening.